When I think about great men, I think about Jesus, of course. I think about the Apostle Paul. I think about David. But also think about a man by the name of Tychicus. The reason why I think about this great man, I've always looked up to this great man of God. There's so much about him that is said in the scriptures that is encouraging, enlightening, exciting. I truly believe that we ought to be looking at men and women in the scriptures that demonstrate courage and confidence. When we consider a man like this, I want us to turn our Bibles to the book of Acts chapter 20. And I'll meet you there in a few minutes. I want to talk about Tychicus, a man who is tried, trusted, and true. Paul's on his third missionary journey, and it's roughly about 54 to 58 A.D. as he begins his trek from Antioch, and he's traveling through parts of Asia and Europe. And you can see the third missionary journey in the book of Acts chapter 18, verses 23 through chapter 21, verse 17, Paul's missionary journey. And in Acts chapter 20, we see that there were some men that accompanied the Apostle Paul. In verse number 4, we take notice, and so Peter of Berea accompanied him to Asia, also Aristarchus and Secundus, I'll get that, of the Thessalonians, and Gaius of Derbe, and Timothy, and Tychicus, and Trophimus of Asia. Now, notice, we have Tychicus in there that is a man that we're going to come to find out that he's all over the New Testament scriptures, and he's all around the Apostle Paul. As a matter of fact, when we think about Tychicus, we'll see that he clung to the Apostle Paul. If you will, turn your Bibles to the book of Ephesians chapter 6. In Ephesians chapter 6, verses 21 through 24, here it is, roughly about 5 years later. It's about A.D. 62. And the reason why I'm giving these dates is to demonstrate that Tychicus was consistent. And one thing that we can learn from this great man of God, that he was consistent. In Ephesians chapter 6, starting at verse number 21, notice what the Bible here says. He says, "But that you may also know of my affairs." Paul wanted the church at Ephesus to understand and know what he was going through. "And how I am doing. Tychicus, a beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, will make all things known to you." Think about that. Here is a man of God. You know, he's not talked about a lot. You know, he's not one that we look to like Peter and Luke and Mark. And, you know, if anything, he's just a regular member of the Lord's church. But no, he's a faithful man of God. He is all over the New Testament as it relates to Paul's missionary journeys. But we take notice, verse 22 and following. "Whom I sent to you for this very purpose, in order that you may know our affairs, and that he may comfort your hearts. Peace to the brethren and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with you all. Be with all of those who love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity." Tychicus was a beloved man, a faithful man to God and also to the Apostle Paul. He's a minister. He's a servant of Almighty God. Here it is, we see some 7 to 9 years later, and he's still trustworthy, still trustworthy. That ought to tell us something, that when we obey the gospel of Jesus Christ, we ought to seek to be trustworthy and maintain our faithfulness to Almighty God. Well, Tychicus, this is exactly what he did. And I love what Paul said in verse number 22 when he says, "Whom I sent to you for the same purpose, that you might know our affairs." Paul wanted the church at Ephesus to know what was going on in his life. You just don't send anyone with information about yourself. You just don't trust anyone with information like that. But he trusted Tychicus. He trusted this man of God, this faithful man of God. I thought about that as it relates to ourselves. Can people send information with us? And when we deliver that information, will we deliver it the way that it was given to us? Or will we add a word or take a word out? Or, well, this is what I thought I heard. No, Tychicus made sure that he said what Paul wanted him to say. Turn to Colossians chapter 4. In Colossians chapter 4, we take notice of something. Colossians chapter 4. Let's start at verse number 2, and let's get some of the context. He says, continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it, with thanksgiving. Meanwhile, praying also for us that God would open to us a door for the word, to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in chains. Remember, we talked about those chains this morning. In order that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak, walk in wisdom toward those who are outside, redeeming the time. Let your speech be with grace, seasoned with salt, in order that you may know how you ought to answer each one. Now notice verse 7. Tychicus, a beloved brother. Notice that term of endearment. Beloved. I believe that Paul called Hymenaeus and Philetus beloved, but he called Tychicus beloved. I don't believe that Paul called Hymenaeus and Philetus and Alexander the coppersmith faithful, but he called Tychicus faithful. He called him a faithful minister, but then he also said, and fellow servant. Now, those are a few things that I want us to take notice of. Number one, he calls him beloved. He calls him faithful. He says he's a fellow servant. We're in the trenches together. You just don't have anybody on your right side. You just don't have anyone in the trenches with you. You just don't call anyone faithful. Yet he calls him faithful. He calls him beloved. He calls him his fellow servant in the Lord. And notice what he says. Will tell you all the news about me. That sounds personal, Brother Royce. You don't tell anybody your personal business. Unfortunately, we live in a time today where many think it's all right to put all your personal business online. It's just not personal anymore. It's unfortunate that we have people who are arguing with one another and they'll put all of that online. But Paul, he told this to Tychicus. He wanted the church at Ephesus to know what was going on with him. He wanted the church at Colossae to know what was going on with him. You know, when we have some personal business, we ought to choose faithful men and women to tell that to. But just don't put all of our business out there like that. We ought to be discreet in who we tell things that are personal in our lives. Notice the verse again. Let's read 7. Tychicus, a beloved brother, faithful minister, fellow servant in the Lord, will tell you all the news about me. I'm sending him to you for this very purpose. That's why he sent Tychicus, to tell them about what was going on with him. The Apostle Paul loved the Lord. He loved God. He loved the church at Ephesus. He loved the church at Colossae. And he loved Tychicus. And it's obvious that Tychicus loved him, that he was willing to take that information and take it to the church at Ephesus and take it to the church at Colossae. But then notice what he goes on to say, that he may know your circumstances and comfort your hearts. Brother Brian talked about that comfort this morning. He wanted to comfort the hearts of the Colossian brethren. Perhaps they heard some things about the Apostle Paul. I don't know. But whatever it was, he sent Tychicus to comfort them, to know their circumstances. And there are times in our lives that we have circumstances in our lives that we need comfort in. Tychicus was a faithful man, a beloved man, a minister, a fellow servant. If we're going to send anybody, we ought to send people who have these qualifications, these characteristics, this type of lifestyle. I love Tychicus. I read about Tychicus every now and then just to receive encouragement. I'm almost like David when he had to encourage himself in the Lord. I love reading about Tychicus because he's not a household name, if you will. He's not one that we just read about and say, you know what, I want to pick up the Bible and I want to read about Tychicus. No, we don't think about Tychicus like that. But Paul did, James. Paul thought about Tychicus that way. You know what it also says? Yeah, when people think about Ninth and Main, they may think about the elders. They may think about Mike Bonner, but what about Brother Hilliard? We think about him. What about Scott? What about Abby? We think about them. They're just as important. Just as important. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 4. We're getting close to the end of the Apostle Paul's life. And at the end of the Apostle Paul's life, there's some things that's going on with the Apostle Paul. Can you imagine? You've been preaching the gospel. You've been faithful. You received stripes. You had to deal with false brethren. A night and a day in the deep. Dealing with all types of things. And now Paul is about to face the guillotine, if you will. And in verses 9 through verse 18, we hear some things about this great apostle. He says, be diligent. He's talking to Timothy. Be diligent to come to me quickly. It sounds like a man that wanted some fellowship. For Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world, and has departed for Thessalonica. I heard one brother say one time, Paul did not say that Demas left the Lord. Paul said that Demas left him. The more I ponder that, the more I say that's false. He said he left me having loved this present world. Sounds worldly to me. Sounds like a man that was hurting and needed somebody to stay there by his side. A gospel globetrotter, if you will, been on the battlefield. Cretan for Galatia, Titus for Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Get Mark. Bring him with you. He's useful for the ministry. He's useful to me, for ministry. And notice verse 12. And Tychicus I sent to Ephesus. Can you imagine? He's at the end of his life, Brother Randy. He's mentioning Tychicus. Out of all of the people, he could have mentioned Peter. He could have mentioned Luke. He could have mentioned some other men. He did mention Luke, He could have mentioned some other men, but he mentioned Tychicus. And notice what he says. Bring the cloak that I left with Carpus at Troas when you come. And the books, especially the parchments. We notice some things about this great man of God that I truly believe we ought to take notice of. The question is, will the Lord send us? Will people send us like, well, Tychicus was sent? Go to the book of Titus, the next book over. It's about 10 years later, if you will, after Paul, seemingly, from what I've gathered over the years, had met Tychicus. In Titus chapter 3, in verse number 12, here, one of Paul's final messages, talking to this preacher, if you will. He says, when I send Artemis to you, or Tychicus, be diligent to come to me in Nicopolis, for I've decided to spend the winter there. Now, can you imagine? He's still true to the Apostle Paul. He's still true to the Lord. It's all right to be faithful to God. It's all right to be faithful to one another. If there's a brother that is following the Lord, why shouldn't I follow him? Why shouldn't I stand close to him? In 1 Corinthians 11, in verse number 1, Paul would say, follow me even as I follow Christ, which the opposite is true. So I want to give you three things to think about concerning Tychicus. Number one, he was tried. Turn to Hebrews 11 in verse number 17. In Hebrews 11 in verse number 17, Tychicus wasn't the only one that was tried. In Hebrews 11 in verse number 17, Abraham was tried. by faith, Abraham, when he was tried, tested, offered up Isaac. And he who had received the promises offered up his only begotten son. James chapter 1 and verse number 12, sometimes we find ourselves being tried. We have to endure temptation. I told someone just the other day, being tempted is not the sin. It's falling to the temptation. That's the sin. We can prove that. In Hebrews 5 and verse number 8, here the Hebrews writer talks about our Lord, our Master, the Christ. Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things in which he suffered. Friends, when we consider Jesus being tempted, the Bible teaches us he was in all points tempted like as we, yet without sin. We think about being tried. Turn to 1 Peter 1 and verse number 7. You don't have to be a big name to be tried. You don't have to be a big name Christian, if you will, in order to have your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. But in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 7, do you understand that our faith is going to be tried to demonstrate how genuine it is? You can tell a lot about a Christian that when they go through trying times, what they do. Will they fold? Will they retreat? Or will they dig their proverbial feet in the ground and stand with the Lord? In Proverbs, in 1 Peter 1 and verse number 7, notice, talks about the faith, the trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perish, though it is what, Brother Royce? Tested. It's tried. May be found what? To the praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. You can tell a lot about a person when they're tried. Tychicus was tried, but Tychicus was also trustworthy. You know who else is trustworthy? Go to 1 Corinthians 1, look at verse 9. Let's find out who's trustworthy. Who can we trust? Who can I trust? In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, we come across an individual that is trustworthy. Look at verse number 9. God is faithful. God is trustworthy. By whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. God is trustworthy. Why did Paul send Tychicus to Ephesus? Why did Paul send Tychicus to Colossae? Nate, he was trustworthy. Why should God send us out into the world to preach and teach the gospel? Look at 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13. God is faithful. God is trustworthy. We can trust him. And we ought to be able to trust men who trust God, which the opposite is true, that I shouldn't have to trust a man who doesn't trust God. I can't remember the passage, but it does come to mind that Solomon said, faithfulness or trust in a faithless man is like a broken foot, a broken tooth, and a foot out of joint. Trust in an unfaithful man is like having, like, goodness. Trust in an unfaithful man is like a broken tooth and a foot out of joint. Think about that. Trust in an unfaithful person is like having a broken tooth and a foot out of joint. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13, look what the Bible says. God is faithful. Remember, we're all tempted. He says, no temptation has overtaken you except such as common to man. But God is faithful. God is faithful. Why was Tychicus faithful? Could it be that he knew that God was faithful? Why are we faithful? Could it be because God is faithful? God is trustworthy? In 1 John 1 and verse number 9, we see the same idea. 1 John 1 and verse number 9. I want to establish something you already know. That God is faithful. That if we confess our sins, he's faithful. Tychicus was tried. He was trustworthy. God is trustworthy. He's faithful that when I commit sin, if I go to God and I ask him to forgive me, he's faithful. He's just to forgive. I just experienced something about an hour ago. I don't want to go too deep into it. And I took notice of something that was interesting, that when a person is not humble, they won't even trust in the faithfulness of God. Brethren, it's important that we're humble. Right now, I'm not speaking as a preacher. I'm speaking as an elder now. It is so important for you to be humble. It's so important for you to realize that you need God. And we need God. That we can't do this by ourselves. And so in the midst of being tried in our faith, we have to rely upon the faithfulness of God. And he will never leave, nor will he forsake. But unfortunately, Brother Royce, we will leave him. We will forsake him. Which brings my point together as it relates to Tychicus. Why could he have so much faith in Paul? Because Paul's faith was in Christ. Why did he trust Paul so much? Because Paul trusted God. He saw the genuineness of Paul. Because Paul trusted God. He saw what or heard what Paul went through. Therefore, he could trust Paul. And it made me think about this. As a Christian, we're going to go through certain things. We're going to be tried. And those trials are going to determine how faithful we are. Look at 2 Timothy 3 and verse number 12. In 2 Timothy 3 and verse number 12, we see something from Paul talking to Timothy. And friends, it's all right to go through trouble. It's all right for the genuineness of our faith to go through the fire, if you will. It's okay. We're either going to suffer for righteousness or unrighteousness. 1 Peter 4, 15 and 16. But in 2 Timothy 3 and verse number 12. Yea, all they that live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. In other words, we're going to be tried. And we have to ask ourselves, will I be trustworthy in the midst of being tried? Again, I saw such arrogance in this individual. There's no way for this person to obey the gospel. In order for us to obey God, even after obeying the gospel, we have to say, I deny myself. I'm willing to be tried. Therefore, I can be trusted. Therefore, I'll stand true. In Ephesians chapter 6 and verse number 10, we take notice of what Paul again says to the church at Ephesus. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse number 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong. Why should I be strong? Because the trials are coming. God has to know I'm on his side. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse number 19, there must be factions among us, that those who are true, those who are right, those who are on God's side will be manifest. Our brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. The question we have to ask ourselves, are we faithful? Will we stand? Will we be like Tychicus, who is tried and trustworthy and true? True to God, true to self, true to the church. The more I think about Tychicus, the more I fall in love with that man. He's a great man of God. And it also teaches me that I don't have to be a brotherhood name in order to be like Tychicus. The word true means to be genuine and honest. When we're genuine and honest when it comes to our love for God and his word, then the souls of men are priority. Starting with our own soul. Starting with the souls, again, with the souls of our friends and our families. I want to leave you with these thoughts. If Tychicus could be tried, trustworthy, and true, can we? The answer is yes. Sister Ventura, we must. And it also teaches us that we have to be humble. I'm reminded of the children of Israel. They were humble enough to follow Moses out of Egypt, but not humble enough to go into the promised land. We have been humble enough to be baptized, have been baptized into Christ. But friends, let's continue to be humble that we may hear well done. And let's not run from the trials, for it's going to develop trustworthiness in us. It's going to develop that truism that's in us, that we can truly be the people that God will have us to be. I hope, pray, and trust that some of the things that we said were beneficial. But do your own study on Tychicus. You'll fall in love with that great man of God. And then do yourself a favor. Find someone else in the scriptures. Do a character study of someone that you haven't really heard about and see what type of person they are. And then ask yourself, what can I do to be more like that person? Let's have a word of prayer and then I'll offer the invitation. Our Father and our God in heaven, you're so good to us, and for that we're thankful. Father, I ask that you help us to be humble. Help us to learn from you. Help us to realize that we need you and that the trials of this life is to help us. Help us to be trustworthy with your word and our character. Help us to be true. Not when people are watching only, but when people are not watching. Help us to be a people that people can trust that if they give us information, that we can take that information, and if they want us to deliver it, to deliver it like you, like they said it. Help us to be like Tychicus. Father, we're thankful for this congregation, the men who serve as shepherds, ministers, deacons. Pray to Father that you grant us wisdom, and we'll do that which is right. That we don't run from the trials. That we may show ourselves trustworthy. We're thankful, Father, that you're trustworthy, you're faithful. You're so faithful that you're willing to forgive us when we ask, when we confess our sin, when we repent. Help our hearts to be tender, that as we are walking in this life, that people can see that we are truly genuine, trying to do that which is godly and right. Father, help us not to be like the children of Israel who didn't make it into the promised land. We're thankful for those of us who have been baptized into Christ, but help us, Father, to be humble that we can enter into that promised land. So we ask that you forgive us when we fall short, when we repent of those things. And again, Father, we beg you to help us be humble. Help us to be humble, Father, that we may grow in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. If you're not a child of God, we want you to be. We want you to consider obeying the gospel, the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. If you need special prayer, let it be known. Stand and sing.